Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the cells at long enough.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Born and raised in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Donnie Peranto is one of Canada's most versatile and dynamic country music singer-songwriters. He's a talented multi-instrumentalist who performs with energy and enthusiasm on the fiddle, mandolin, acoustic, and electric guitars, and the unique double-neck Mandocaster guitar. With three CDs released since 2003, and without the backing of a major music label, Donnie has garnered numerous provincial and national music nominations and awards, including a 2008 Juno nomination for Aboriginal Recording of the Year. Donnie's recently released single, Turn It Up, is his fastest rising yet. And we're going to play that song, plus one from a few years back that earned him a Song and Single of the Year at the Saskatchewan Country Music Association Awards. A very moving song. We'll get the story behind that. We'll talk about lots more with our guest, Donnie Peranto. Hey, Donnie.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, fantastic. Everything's going really well.
Hey, that's good to hear, and things must be going pretty well these days, especially with Turn It Up, your new energized single, your fastest rising single yet.
Man, I'm really excited about that one. A buddy of mine, Rod Jansen, former guitar player with Dierks Bentley, used to, he actually got together with me when I was in Nashville, and it was our last writing session while I was in Nashville before we finished recording the album, before we finished writing all the tunes for the album. And I had this idea for a tune, and I went to see him, and he came up with the riff right off the very beginning on the guitar, and I said, it feels good. And we took off, and we wrote that thing, and it took us about an hour, and we were done.
Wow.
Just one of those tunes that just flowed out of us. It was really cool. So we're happy.
So it started with that riff, and that inspired the rest.
Started with that riff, and then it's just, you know, bringing it into the studio, and then guys like Brent Mason and Russ Paul bringing the song to life, you know, and Harry Stinson is the producer. And also the drummer just totally brought the song to life.
Yeah, it must be pretty cool. I've talked with other artists going into the studio when maybe you've just sung it on guitar and that's where you've heard it, and now all the instruments are coming into play and now the song is really being realized.
Well, you know, the neat thing about being in the studio is what happens is you walk in and you're so used to hearing the song the way you've done it, the way you've sang it, just you and your acoustic. And these guys will hear a song one time, and they'll sit back and they'll either add something to the song, they'll embellish on certain areas in the tune, and it's absolutely incredible how fast they are. And they're so good. It's amazing.
That's incredible. I've heard that about the Nashville musicians. They can't really be beat. Now, let's talk about songwriting. You touched on it a bit there, and we had a chance to just quickly touch on it. And you had some really interesting thoughts on songwriting, and I guess your approach to it as far as how you need to be authentic whenever you're writing a song.
Well, exactly. I mean, the way that I write myself personally is just basically there's always a piece of me in that song. So people that know me personally, when they'll hear certain songs that I sing, they know exactly where that song come from, and they know where it is. And I think that's the whole point of songwriting, because if you can put a piece of your heart and soul into that song, and if somebody it can relate to that song and totally relate to it and say that I feel that, That's gold. It's like hitting a home run in the World Series, man. It's great.
For sure. Because you're writing with your co-writer or by yourself, and it's something you've gone through. But now you've actually been able to write in such a way that the listener has gone through that, and it's sort of reflecting their experiences too.
Well, I think that's the thing too, because that's the one thing with myself is I'm always honored to write with other people and to get with co-writers, because to me it's like anything. It's like playing an instrument. You're not going to get any better at your instrument unless you play with somebody who's better than you are.
Right.
So you have to write with better people in order to become a better writer. and for those guys to take you under their wing and just teach you certain things of how they write and how fast things go and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, what sounds today and not too dated. You know, there's so much to it. But, you know, man, the way I love writing a song is just if it pours out of me and it's the way that I feel that day and all the emotion comes out of me, and if
right.
I can sit back and really get a good feeling and a good vibe from what I've just written, then I always feel that I've written a good song.
So your sort of meter is, if it rings true and it's come out of a genuine place as opposed to more craft than actual inspiration.
Exactly. And
very cool.
There's just more meat and potatoes to a song like that.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to get to one of those songs in a little bit, your great song, Postmark Heaven, and we'll hear more about that. But I know our listeners will love it, especially if they haven't heard it before. They'll be quite moved. But on the subject of songwriting, Donnie, can you look back to maybe the first song you wrote or first couple of songs? Was it a process that came somewhat easy to you, or did it kind of get better over time?
I'll tell you, you know, what happened with me is it all finally come together with me because I went through life changes. And as those changes in life started to come, I used to always try to write down ideas, and I'd try to write a song, and I'd do things. And it wasn't until recently that when I, you know, 7 years ago when I moved back home and I retired from Neil McCoy, I met my wife, who, you know, I've been married now coming on 5 years to her. But I remember meeting her, and that day, it's just the whole memory of meeting her that evening when I met her replayed in my mind, and a melody came with it. I've never had this happen to me ever before. I wrote the song in my head when I was walking down the street, and I couldn't wait to get home because I had to figure out the chords. I didn't even know the chords because this melody was in my head, and it was so serious. I had to get home as fast as I could, put this down on a recording, anything as fast as I could. I went in, I grabbed the guitar, and I learned a couple of, you know, different chord structures and patterns that I normally didn't use. And I put it all together, and then once it was done, I went, that was just strange. But that's when it all really started coming together, and I took it and just absolutely dove into the songwriting part of it. Because to me, songwriting is nothing but telling stories. And the way I explain about writing a song is this. It's like when you go to a movie, instead of sitting through the whole movie for 2 hours, you have those credits, like a two minute little documentary of what the whole movie's about. That's basically your song. But the hardest thing about when you're writing a song is getting back to the main plot, getting back to that plot. So when you're going from your second verse back into the chorus and make it all tie in together, that's your hard line you got to come up with to come back in. So there's definitely a learning curve you have to learn to get around that and to come back in, and the rhyming structure of a song and stuff, and making sure the melody fits with it. That's pretty much the way I write songs.
Very cool. Yeah, those are some great tips there because, well, first of all, with the melody, it's got to match, obviously, if it's a sad song, or I guess even if there's certain words need to, the song Friends in Low Places, you want to hit a low note on the word low to match the two together.
Exactly right. Exactly, because you can't have a good song without a good melody.
Yeah, definitely. The melody goes a long way, and it sort of underscores. I mean, you can have some lines that might be maybe not powerful lines, but with the right melody, you know, it drives that emotion or that meaning home.
Well, exactly right. There's certain chords, and that's the thing when you're listening to some certain songs, and you'll hear. I'll give you an example. Like you're talking about Garth Brooks, the Thunder Rolls.
Right.
When you hear that D minor chord right off the beginning, and everyone just, the mood gets set. There's something with the sound of that chord that just sends chills up your back.
Yeah.
You know, when you're listening to it, and then if you got some really cool words that go with that, it's like, wow. I mean, it was just neat. But it also sets the mood. But then if you want to even dig deeper than that, listen to some early Merle Haggard. That's my hero. Haggard was the storyteller of all storytellers.
Yeah.
Haggard is the writer's writer, you know, and that's the thing. And I mold a lot of my songs, if I want to dig deep, I mold just the way that he does it, because basically the way he writes, it's his life stories. It's things that he went through. A lot of those songs that he wrote, they're true. They're true. And Kris Kristofferson, I believe, is the same way.
And I think as listeners, we pick up on the fact that, you know, it isn't something fabricated. There's something very true that we're hearing, not just in their voice singing it, but in the way it's written.
Exactly. Exactly right.
But that's very cool here to have
that's
more.
That's the thing. And I mean, then that's the thing too. Like, if you have a singer that can really believe, that's why sometimes it's hard to sing someone else's song if you're not a writer.
Right.
If you are, I take that back. It's hard to sing someone else's song if you are a writer. If you do write, it's a little tougher to sing someone else's song because what you have to do, those are not your words. That's not your melody. But now you have to believe in that song. So there's a part of you that connects with that song, and you have to turn around and make that your own when you're singing it. So that's pretty much what we do when we're playing live. And if I'm doing a cover tune, if I'm doing Buck Owens, Haggard, anything, even new stuff today, the new Top 40, if we're doing that, we make it our own. There's something about our sound when we're playing live that we turn it into our own sound. Because instead of copycatting somebody and just imitating it and becoming a human jukebox, become your own. Make it your own. Be unique. Get up there and make yourself different.
That's a very cool approach because, like you say, it can end up sounding karaoke or an imitation of jukebox, but if you're putting in your own sound, then it's like, hey, we know that song, but this has got their spin on it.
Well, and that's the thing, because there's really cool compliments that will come back at you and say, I like the way you do that song.
Ah. Now, that would be, I guess, the ultimate compliment if somebody almost likes it better than the original.
That's
or at least likes the way you put a spin on it.
Yeah, unless it's somebody else doing one of your tunes and saying they like the way they do my original better than the way I do it. Then I'm in trouble.
Exactly. Good point. Well, let's turn to the music now because we've talked about sort of how you approach songwriting, and this song is like I had mentioned to you, I've heard it many times on the radio, and it just was always very moving. The song Postmarked Heaven, which I'll just let our listeners know, back in 2008, it's from your What It Takes CD, and it won Song and Single of the Year at the SCMA, the Saskatchewan Country Music Association Awards. So do you want to talk about the big story, the moving story behind the song, and then we'll share with our listeners.
The story behind that song is like, I'll try and be as brief as I can, but ever since I started playing fiddle, I was 14 years old when I started, and just grew up in a small town, like in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, about 30 to 35,000 people. And it was always my dream when I started playing. I wanted to play on the Grand Ole Opry. And everybody thought I was crazy, but I was a big dreamer when I was a kid. And I always thought if I could dream it, I could make it reality. Something in me told me I could do that. So when it finally come down and I started playing music for a living, and I was 19, and I ended up going across Canada and touring. I spent my 20th birthday in London, England. So much stuff, fortune come my way playing music, that my dad was such a huge fan. And then we ended up losing my dad in 1990, and he never got to see my dream become reality by playing on the Opry. But so he passed away in 1990. When I started working with Neil McCoy in 1991, I remember we walked out on the Grand Ole Opry stage for the first time. But before we walked out there, I wrote my dad a letter. And I let him know that, hey, my dream finally come true. This is what's happening. Mom's doing okay. We miss you, my sister, my two older brothers. And I know our paths will cross again someday. But until then, we love you and we miss you. And that's the way I left the letter. And I hung on to that for 15 years until I decided that, you know what, I need to make this song a song. I need to make this letter a song. So I'll never forget, I was sitting with Gil Grand, a songwriter from Calgary, Alberta. He lives in Nashville now. And Gil and I sat down, and Gil looked at me one day and he said, okay, if we're going to write something today, I want you to dig as deep as you can inside your soul and give me something. That's what I come up with. And as soon as I said that, he strummed a G chord and said the first line, I'm writing this letter to let you know that I'm all right. And then we just went from there. And that's how we wrote the tune.
That is amazing. And to know the story behind it makes it even more powerful. But it's such a beautiful song, and I'm sure that you've had a response over the years from listeners who have taken the song to mean something in their lives.
There's one of the best compliments that I've ever got on this song. It was from a young gentleman out of Ontario that just lost his grandfather. And he turned to the bottle real heavy, like he was drinking heavy, heavy, heavy. And he said he was heading down that path, and he didn't know how to stop. Somebody turned him onto this song. He listened to it, and he says, and I got to let you know that I'm 6 months clean and sober.
Wow.
He said, that song helped save me. And I said, I can't. I told my wife I couldn't believe it. I emailed Gil Grand right away, and Gil emailed me back and said, now that's what songwriting's all about.
Yeah.
When you can touch somebody's life like that.
That's amazing.
From my own experience.
Yeah.
There's that connection I was telling you about.
Yep. Yeah, this is proof right here of exactly what you've been talking about, and I'll share it now with our listeners, this beautiful song from Donnie Peronto. This is Postmarked Heaven here on In the Country.
I'm writing this letter to let you know that I'm all right, in case you were wondering. I no longer sleep with the light on. So much has changed since you've been gone. Mama's now working down at the Wilson Grocery Store. Becky's through learning.
She learned to drive your old Ford.
Now she drives your old Ford too. Pick me up from school. The postmark said heaven to Daddy with placed it up on the counter and said, Mr. How much? His tears started to fill that old man's eyes. He said, letters to heaven don't cost a dime. I said thank you, turned around and waved goodbye. Can I come back tomorrow? Do you think that would be all right? He said, son, anytime. The postmark said heaven to Daddy with love. He placed it up on the counter and said, Mr. How much? His tears started to fill that old man's eyes. He said, letters to heaven don't cost a dime.
A beautiful and very moving song from our guest, Donnie Peronto. The song is called Postmark Heaven. You can find that on a CD, What It Takes. I want to let our listeners know they can head over to DonnieParanto.com, D-O-N-N-Y, and the last name P-A-R-E-N-T-E-A-U.com. Great website, just newly designed, and lots of great features, and you can read all about his awards, the Saskatchewan Country Music Award, 3 years in a row, Aboriginal Artist of the Year. Congratulations on that award, Donnie, and ton of other nominations and awards. You've really done well the last 4 years in that sense.
Well, things are going very well, and I mean, and that's the thing. Recently, just this year, we signed on, my wife and I always say, because I never say just me, it's always we. It's me and my band, my wife, and we just signed on with a management company. It's Woody Bowles, and Woody used to manage the Judds, for people who are not familiar with him, and managed Terry Clark for years, and
wow.
He's just a fantastic guy. So that's the new guy on the team that we have.
Awesome.
And what we try to focus on more than anything is we really appreciate everything that happened in the past leading us up to here, but we try not to live there. We're really focused on what's coming tomorrow. And one of the neatest lines that Woody taught me, he said, when you're talking to people and telling them things of what's going on, don't tell them what's happening. Tell them what you did already. And that totally changed the way that I think in the industry now. I never tell people what I'm planning to do. I always talk to people and just say, we just got through doing this.
Okay.
It just makes you think, you know, so you don't lose the grasp of where you are today.
Right.
You know, so live in the moment, live for today. You know,
very cool.
That's kind of the way I've been living my life lately.
Very cool. Well, things are going really well, and the new single, Turn It Up, we're going to get to that in a few moments and the story behind it, and we'll let our listeners hear that, a high-energy song. Your CD, What It Takes, was co-produced by Steve Fox. What was it like working with Steve?
Steve Fox was just absolutely wonderful to work with. I mean, he was great. He had such a really neat sense of humor, made you really feel comfortable when you worked together, and his family was great. I just went there, but it was a whirlwind when I worked with him when I was in Nashville. We were there for only like 2 days, and in the studio, and there was cutting, and there was overdubs we had to do, and it's just, I told him, I says, I don't even have time to sit back and even listen to these songs. They're going so fast. until I was on my way home, and because once I fly in to from Nashville to Saskatoon, it's an hour and a half drive for me to get home. That was really the first time I soaked in and listened to Postmarked Heaven and stuff, and I can remember I had to pull over on the side of the road because all these emotions come to me because I couldn't believe all these songs were coming to life.
No doubt.
You know, so it was just a really neat experience. I mean, he's just a wonderful human being.
And there's some great tracks on there. I mean, as a few of them, Father Time, Someone More Lonesome, and the title track, What It Takes, all great songs. And now, is that CD and your previous two CDs before that, are they available through your website?
They are available. Like we're putting up the What It Takes CD right now on the on iTunes. We're in the process of doing that. But they're always available through my website, and you can go on the online store and just go on to there. It's Music Max, and you can check out anything that I have. I've got merchandise, and all of my CDs are on there and up, and we can send you one in the mail if you're interested. But eventually, that's the way the industry is going, I find, is everything is going either to iTunes or it's all downloads right now.
Sure.
And that's where the industry is starting to change, and it's not for the worse. It just makes things a lot easier.
Just and a new kind of thinking to approach it. And I just want, we've got time to play the song, of course, but I wanted to have a chance for you to talk about the story behind Turn It Up, a high-energy tune. It's your new one,
okay.
And it's doing great on Canadian radio, your fastest rising single yet. So do you want to talk about a little bit of the story behind it, then we'll share with our listeners, Donnie?
Well, the story behind that song is, I think I mentioned earlier, I just went to hang out with my friend Rod Jensen, and Rod Jensen is a former guitar player with Dierks Bentley, and him and I got together, and we had a writing session booked, and I walked in, and I played him kind of this idea that I had, and he come up with a guitar riff, and we took off and just started writing. Now,
awesome.
For people who aren't familiar who Rod Jensen is, Rod is also the person that wrote with Dierks Bentley, Free and Easy Down the Road I Go. So Rod was like a number one writer.
Yeah, great tune.
He's in the number one club. So for him to sit back and tell me when we were halfway through this song, he looked at me and said, I've never had a feeling come over me about any song that I've written since I wrote the Dierks Bentley tune. And then this one.
Wow.
He said, there's something about this tune. He said, it's just a fun energy, high energy tune. And that's why going in the studio and singing it, is just it just all come together. It was a blast.
Very cool. That's great to hear the story behind it, Donnie. And we'll share it now, the brand new single from Donnie Peranto. This is Turn It Up here on In the Country.
Tracks where it's about to all go down. Bobby's place is all fired up because we're bringing out the town. You can bring your jacked up pickup or your stretched out Escalade, because when we come to play, we turn it up, crank scratching on the wax, spinning out that funkadelic. There's cherry bomb on Bobby's arm, man, she can really sell it. And I just saw the president of our local PTA. I thought I heard her say, turn it up, crank it loud. We're gonna raise some hell and lift the roof with this party crowd. Turn it up.
That is the brand new song from Donny Peranto, and that is Turn It Up here on In the Country, a song doing really well for you. Is that part of an upcoming project, like a full CD, Donny?
The CD is actually done right now. We're just in the process of trying to pick the next single, which will probably be released in August. But I think that's the thing, the way the industry is changing right now, you don't really want to release your CD right off the bat anymore. You want to get a song out there at radio and get people hyped up to buy the CD, to buy the product, and then you go ahead and release the CD. So the CD is actually finished, and the CD release is going to be, we're hoping, around towards the end of August, very beginning of September.
Ah, very cool. We'll look for that, and we can follow stuff on DonnyPeranto.com to get updates on that. Got a few remaining moments. Wanted to ask you your favorite classic country song to cover. You mentioned earlier Merle Haggard, one of your heroes. Could be a Haggard tune, but is there one that you really enjoy performing live?
Oh, man. I'll tell you right now, at this time, one of our favorite tunes to cover, and it's really not even a classic country tune. What it is we do James Taylor, Fire and Rain.
Great song.
My band and I really enjoy doing stuff like that. And but if I was to just to pick a classic country song, there's so many of them to choose from. But it would definitely have to be a Haggard tune.
Yeah.
And I would probably dig deep into the Haggard repertoire and say that something like Carolyn was a song that Haggard did, and I absolutely love that song. There's so many, but there's like Silver Wings. If you decided to do something by Buck Owens, I mean,
yeah,
he had some really neat stuff. George Jones, I mean,
those
are the heartfelt tearjerker kind of a songs, crying in my beer kind of tunes. But that's the stuff that I grew up on because my dad used to always listen to that.
Yeah, same with me, my dad. My dad as well, Hank Williams and Charlie Pride, George Jones. We're just got to wrap things up. Don, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show, and wish you so much best with the new project.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure. My guest today has been country artist Donny Peranto. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun.